Good evening, once again.
Good evening.
Welcome to our evening service. And we're on our last week looking at hashtag Jesus Says. Apparently that's the international sign for hashtag. So the youth have told me. Hashtag Jesus Says. We've been looking at the teachings of Jesus. Particular pithy, well-known sayings of Jesus. And tonight we've got a corker. We've got a corker. It's a good one tonight. Well-known one right at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus says, go and make disciples. What would he mean then? If you've got a Bible and you wish to open it, it will be on the screen. Open it at Matthew 28, we're starting at verse 16. Couldn't tell you what number in the Bible it is. What page number? Anyone got a page? 1001. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. I am a disciple. Are you a disciple? Three of us, yay. I'm here, standing here tonight preaching because of a street preacher from Bridge Street Pentecostal Church in Leeds and a group of elderly saints at Headingley St. Columba's United Reformed Church. I didn't have believers for parents, in fact, anything but. So I was sent up the road by myself to church, to the newly created United Reformed Church, solely so my name could go down at the Church of England Middle School, because you had to attend church. So off I would trundle by myself, from relatively young, from about the age of 7, up the road to church by myself, where I was loved by a whole lot of surrogate grandparents. And that's where I first heard about Jesus. And I continued to go all the time. They gave me pocket money. Bribed me to come to church. It worked. It was better than being at home. By the time I was a teenager, I joined the youth group. We had the smallest youth group in the world. You think it might have been a record. There was 4 of us. And we were led by the oldest youth worker in the entire universe. I thought she was about 103 at the time. She was about 60, which isn't old, I know, because I'm nearly there. But at the time, I thought she was prehistoric. But she was a woman for whom no question was too silly or too trivial. And she loved that teeny youth group unconditionally. In fact, she even took us on holiday together. She loved us so much. I made my decision to follow Christ at 2:30, I'm going to be precise, 2:30 in the afternoon on the 14th of May 1987, after hearing a street preacher preach as I was sitting waiting for my friend in Dortmund Square. I was just waiting, wanting to go shopping. Some random preacher preaches, there you go, life changes. In the early days of my new life as a Christian, a couple of people invested time and energy into my life to know, so I could know where I was going. I was discipled. So I am here tonight because of Joan Throssell, that prehistoric youth worker who died recently. I am here because of my minister, Robert, who put up with an awful lot from me. And when I said, I want to preach, he went, off you go, and I'll tell you where you've gone wrong when you've finished. I'm here because of Roger Owen, who taught me how to read the Bible. He shouldn't have been doing that because he was my teacher teaching me A-level RE, but whilst we were doing A-level RE, he happened to disciple the class at the same time. How about you? I wonder what your story has been. Have you been discipled? Have you discipled others? How's your disciple making going? Today we're looking at those really well-known verses from Matthew's Gospel. It's called the Great Commission, those last words of Jesus recorded in Matthew's Gospel, to go in the authority that Jesus has given us, to no geographical restraint, to go and make disciples, to go and baptize those disciples, and to go and teach them everything that Jesus has taught us. To go and do all of that, and the promise of God's presence will be with you. It's those words that we're looking at tonight, and they kind of distill down all of Jesus' teachings in the Gospel into one powerful mission statement. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you to do. Wow. As I was thinking about what to say tonight, I came across this quote by a chap called John MacArthur. And he says this, it's not an easy quote in some respects. The mission of the church is not fellowship. The mission of the church is not teaching and preaching. The mission of the church is not praise and worship. Those are all functions of the church, which strengthen it and motivate it and direct it towards the mission of the church, which is to make disciples of all nations, or people, or races, or tribes, or ethnic groups across the face of the earth. That's the only reason we're here, because every other function of the church will be better accomplished in heaven. Better fellowship, better knowledge of the truth, better worship in heaven. The reason you're here in the world is that you might be an instrument by which God can reconcile others to himself. Whoa, that really challenged me. If you want a job description, you're called to be a disciple maker. Simple, eh? Well, I wish it was that simple. So I ask the rhetorical question again, how's your disciple making going? Jesus gives us the commandment to go and make disciples. It's called the Great Commission. But dare I say that the church in our generation, it's probably become the Great Omission. We're pretty cruddy at disciple making. We're good at lots of things, but are we making disciples? Now, this is a sermon to me as much as it's a sermon to anyone else. And as I was praying about what to say, I really got the sense of Jesus saying to me, and perhaps to you, if you're not making disciples, Louise, can you really call yourself a disciple? And I thought, crumbs, am I making disciples? Yes, I'm paid to preach, but am I making disciples? Are you making disciples? If you found that your discipleship is lacking, if you find that it's really hard, then you're not alone. I was reading a recent survey by the Evangelical Alliance, and it said of the nearly 2,000 people they surveyed, just 26% said that they felt equipped to witness, to share their faith with others. Just 26%. Only a third believed that they were equipped to live for Christ in their workplace, for example. And several of us have shared that same frustration recently, which is why, as we think about our evangelism, it's why as a church we're going to be doing the frontline course together. It'll be asking us, what's your frontline? Where are your places of influence? What's your mission field, your personal mission field look like? And I'd like to encourage everybody to be part of it. All the fellowship groups are going to be studying the same material together. And if you're not part of a fellowship group and you'd like to be, speak to Kath tonight, because we're starting soon. We'll try and fit you into one of the current fellowship groups, so we'll see what we can do. Our reading tonight doesn't let us off the hook. It is, even though it's one of those readings that we know really well, that, you know, we've heard many times, it is a challenge to not make converts. It's not about making converts, it's about making disciples. I like this definition of discipleship by someone called Dallas Willard. A disciple of Jesus is learning how to live their life as Jesus would live their life if he were they. Let me say that again. A disciple of Jesus is learning how to live their life as Jesus would live their life if he were they. So what does that mean? It means if Jesus was living in your shoes, would he live the way that you live? It stresses the ongoing learning, the need for the Holy Spirit's help in our own personal mission fields, in the messy world in which we live in. If Jesus was in your shoes, would he do what you're going to do tomorrow for Bank Holiday Monday? Would he work in the same way that you work at work? How would he approach Tuesday? How would he approach going back to school on Wednesday, for those who go back to school on Wednesday? How would he live your life? Remember those What Would Jesus Do bracelets that we all wore for a while? It's that sort of question. What would Jesus do with the raw material in my life? If they were in my shoes, would he be interacting differently than I am with my mother, for example? I don't get on very well with my mother. Would Jesus get on with my mother? Yes, he probably would. With my non-Christian and my D-church friends, would he approach my work differently than I do? Would he approach your life differently? And as I thought about it, because it's an interesting way to think about what discipleship is, as I thought about it, I thought, if Jesus would be doing things differently, then why am I not doing it his way and still doing it my way? What would you say about your life and your discipleship? Are you doing it your way, or are you doing it his way? We're told to go and to make disciples. It's a sense of active doing. It's not static, it's not complacent, it's not comfortable. It's an active engagement. It's a getting off your bottoms and doing sort of phrase. Go and make disciples. And it's a challenge, isn't it, to move out of the places where we're comfortable, the places where we're content with, and to step out and do something that's more challenging, to places where we don't know always where we're going or don't know the answers to the questions. To go and do something new is scary. It's a challenge. I read this week. It's from a song. It's a challenge, but it made me laugh at the time. And it's from a Christian song called Please Don't Send Me to Africa. Listen to this. Oh Lord, I am your willing servant. You know I have been for years. I am here in this pew every Sunday and Wednesday. I've stained it with many a tear. I've given you years of my service. I've always given you my best. I've never asked you for anything much, so Lord, I deserve this request. Please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man, I'm not Tarzan. I don't like lions, gorillas or snakes. I'll serve you here in suburbia, in my comfortable middle-class life. Please don't send me out into the bush where the natives are restless at night. I'll see that the money is gathered. I'll see that the money is sent. And I'll wash and stack the communion cups. I'll tithe 11%. I'll volunteer for the nursery. And I'll go on the youth group retreat. I'll usher. I'll deacon. I'll go door to door. Just let me keep warming my seat. Perhaps we should set that to music and sing it sometime. No, okay. As much as that's funny and that there's quite something amusing about that, there's also a real ouch to that, because I wonder if sometimes we think that way. Yes, Lord, we love you, we worship you, but we'll only go as far as we want to go. Yes, you call us, but I'm happy here doing what you don't want me to do. I'm quite happy ignoring what you have to say. Please don't let me do anything else. We hear about the going and making disciples to all nations bit. Well, that's not ours on our doorstep. So we can give some money to Anne Thurston, and that's going to salve our conscience for a little bit, because we don't have to do that. And we forget that our mission field is here. My friend, his church has got these words above every door, every exit door. You are now entering the mission field. I like that. Lots of churches have something similar. It gives the sense that where we are here and now is our mission field. When we're in the shops, when we're shopping, we gossip the gospel. Here is our mission field, as much as far-flung Africa and Chad, where Anne is. It's about taking what we know and what we learn here in church, in our fellowship groups, in our reading of scripture, in our time of prayer, and letting that infuse our daily life. But we know this. We know this. Some of you have been in church way longer than me. You know this. Acts 1 verse 8 says this. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, God's plan for evangelism or making disciples begins where we are. Jerusalem was where they were. It was their mission. It was their West Kirby. Jerusalem was their West Kirby. West Kirby, for the majority of us, is our mission field. Some will take it further. Some went to Judea. Some might have to go to Liverpool. And Samaria. Lancashire. Some are called to the ends of the earth. So, where's your mission field? Our calling is to go and make disciples. How are we doing that? How are we sharing that amazing love of God with people who are lost and needy? How are you making disciples? Now, what I'm not suggesting is that we decide as a church to gather on a Saturday morning and to place ourselves intentionally next door to the Jehovah's Witness outside M & Co. I don't know if you've noticed every Saturday the Jehovah's Witness is there. I have tried a little bit of Jehovah's Witness baiting, but they're ignoring me now. I suspect us doing that won't be the greatest success. Street preaching works for some. I came to Christ through the work of a street preacher. But I was nearly there in my Christian life. I just needed a little shove in the right direction. So how's your disciple-making going? If we want to help some idea of disciple-making, how did Jesus disciple people? What did he do? He spent time with people in small groups. He made friendships. He built relationships. He mentored people. He spent time explaining things. He set up relationships of accountability and authenticity. He told people when they were getting it wrong and showed them how to make it right. He broke bread. He broke open the Word of God and explained it so that they could understand it. And he told stories for the times that they didn't have a clue what he was talking about. He invested in them. So whose life are you investing in? Whose life am I investing in? I know that when I spend time talking to my non-Christian friends about faith, that always brings a challenge. It sharpens me. Because often I'm asked a question I don't know the answer to. Yes, 4 years of theological education and there's things I don't know the answer to often. It makes me think. It makes me think, oh, well, I've not thought of it that way, or I don't know what I think about that. It sharpens me. It challenges me, and that's a good thing. And it always brings me back to where I get my answers from. Not Google or Wikipedia, but Scripture. And times like that always remind me of how much more I need to know and learn. A disciple follows a master. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to sit at his feet and learn more of him. Are you doing that? Are you growing? Are you being challenged by what you're reading in Scripture? Are you reading Scripture? Apart from when you leave here, do you open your Bible at all? Are you praying? In whatever small group you're a part of, is that a challenge? Is that stretching you? Because iron sharpens iron. If you're coasting, if you're not being challenged, then do something different. Go somewhere. Speak to someone, change what you're doing, seek a different focus, spend more time with God, be a pupil again. When was the last time you learned something new? I'm always learning new stuff. When we were doing the baptism classes with Emma and Rebecca, Dan explained something in Scripture, and I thought, wow! I've never thought of it like that before. And I sat there going, oh, that's really fantastic. I can even learn from Dan. Amazing. Are you people that are learning new things about God, realizing things we've not learnt before, moving on, being sharpened, being changed, being challenged? We've all got to do that. Because if our discipleship is stuck, it is stale. We've got to keep on moving and growing and developing in order for us to help others. And why can we do all of this? Go, says Jesus, and make disciples. But don't go by yourself. Go in my name and in my authority, and I will be with you. We don't do any of this in our own strength or in our own passion. We do it because God calls us and equips us and qualifies us and says, you can do this, church, because you're doing this in my name, in my strength, and in my authority and power. And I will be with you always. Go and make disciples, says Jesus, and I will be with you. Let's be obedient to that as a church and as individuals. Let us be obedient to that call, to what God asks us to do. Let us go and make disciples. Amen. Amen.